How to Buy a Business, Part 1. One of three. So I'm taking this idea, how to buy a business, and I'm going to break it into three parts so that it's easy to understand. Gives you something to reach out to me and talk about if you're interested in pushing around some of these ideas. And the reason I'm doing this is because it turns out that most of the entrepreneurs I talk to love the idea of buying businesses. And I've had the opportunity to do it myself a few times, both successfully and unsuccessfully. And it becomes a conversation piece that just sort of mushrooms out into all of these other areas. And I thought, no better time than now to throw up some content that helps folks figure out how to buy a business. And I'm going to be focusing on buying a business without necessarily needing any cash, because if you pay attention to the marketplace, you would know that there are a lot of boomers that are going to be leaving some pretty good businesses in the marketplace. They don't really have a plan for how they're going to transition out of those businesses. I heard it said once that it's very easy to get into business. It's very hard to get out of business. When you start your business and you run it for 20 or 30 years, rarely do you have a great plan for getting out of it. So I'm going to break up this idea into three different videos. I'm going to first, in the part one, I'm going to talk mostly just about the mechanics of how to interact with a prospective business owner who owns a business that you'd like to acquire. In part two, I'm going to talk about the money piece of it. And then in part three, I'm going to talk about kind of the practical on the ground. What do you do in the first 30 days, 6 months, 180 days? So hopefully you find these three pieces interesting, and the links will be in the show notes and kind of all over the place, so you'll be able to catch all three parts. But let's get started with kind of the very, very basic stuff, which is, when you approach a business, the first thing I would say is you got to think about the kind of business you'd like to buy. Sitting with somebody recently, they had shared with me that they wanted a business that was sort of in the manufacturing space. They wanted to be in a business that produced a tangible product that they could stock and sell and service. And that was one of the criteria that they were looking for. I've also met just as many people who have said, you know what, man, if I could get out of the physical inventory business and get into a service business or get into a software business, I would love that. I don't think that there's a particular kind that is better than the next. What I think you need to be paying attention to is much like a pop artist who writes a very popular song, they have to be prepared to sing it a million times, because they're going to go to concerts, they're going to be on award shows, they're going to hear it on the radio. And so you kind of have to know that you're going to really enjoy, the pop artist has to know they're going to enjoy the song, you have to know you're going to enjoy the business. And there's lots of different things to consider when you're sort of figuring out the category of business that you'd like to purchase. Some of it might be market related. You might want to try and get into a market that you think is underserviced. And so you think you can go in at a perfect time and service it. You might see that there are trends happening, but whatever the case is, the first place to start is just to say, here are the kind of businesses I want. Here are the kind of businesses I don't want. Myself in particular, I love businesses that have a huge labor component to them. So people who do real work, real physical stuff. And the reason I like those businesses is because I think they're going to be harder and harder to find on a go-forward basis. I think the labor market is shrinking. I think that there is still a high demand for people to do real, real things. And I'm not talking about software development or office administration. I'm talking about like out in the real world fixing stuff. Plumbing, heating, vehicle repair, truck repair, construction work. Anything that involves people and the physical world, I'm attracted to those kinds of businesses. It also helps that I really, really enjoy people. And so that becomes a major anchor for me. I know other folks that would have exactly an opposite opinion. So the first thing to do is just to figure out, okay, what kind of business do I want? So after you figure out the category, then the next thing to do is to go into the market and to try and interact with the businesses. And so if you know, there's lots of different ways to do it. You can use business brokers. You can use online classified websites. From my time on Twitter, I know that there's a big push behind just cold calling. I know some guys that talk on Twitter, some folks on Twitter rather, they just call every day. They make 10 calls or 20 calls to prospective businesses that might be a good fit for them. And, it's a 1 in 20 exercise, but it works. Not my particular style. My style is I come across opportunities based on my network. Doing things like this is really helpful because that's how people get to hear about me and know about me. But whatever your mechanism is, ultimately, you're going to find yourself in front of an owner. And that owner presumably is going to want to meet with you because they too are interested in selling their business and you present yourself as a potential candidate. So one of the first things that I like to do and I think are really helpful is to look at it from the perspective of the current owner. And keep in mind, the context for everything I'm saying in part one, two, and three has more to do with an entrepreneur that doesn't have a lot of money. And so they're going to have to use their sweat equity, their relationships, their charm, their experience, their knowledge to try and acquire the business. So that's the context for this. So if you're sitting with a current business owner, the first thing you have to figure out is what does the current owner want to do? In the example from last week, they had said, you know, the current owner would like to be out of the business by the end of next year. So they're not looking just for someone to write them a check because they know they're not going to get a lot of money for their business. They're prepared to work for the next year and a half because the truth is they don't really have a retirement plan. So, you know, they still need something to do every morning when they get up and they're just sort of feeling things out right now. So the first thing to do is to figure out what does the current owner want to do? And then that will naturally lead into, well, how long is it going to take for them to do whatever it is they want to do? And ultimately, how long is it going to be until they want out of the business? So as the prospective purchaser, there's two things that you now know. You know what the current owners and you know what they'd like to see happen. And then the second thing is you now know how long you have to try and put a deal together. Now, in this context, unlike working with, say, you know, a business broker directly or working with an M&A firm, if it's a larger transaction, if you've got time on your side, that's the best deal to do. Because in my experience, what happens is those first meetings are really great. Even the first, I don't call it the first six meetings, the potential seller is really happy to see you. Every time you walk into their office, you as the buyer are very excited to see the seller because you think there's a great business here. But over time, something called deal fatigue will kick in. And so if you've got time on your side, it gives you the opportunity to figure out the kind of deal that you want to put together that services everyone. So what does the current owner want? How long do they have? Then you got to line that up against what do you want and how long do you have? And the reason why that's important is because maybe you are transitioning out of a job. Maybe you are transitioning out of, maybe you got a package from a place that you used to work at, and now you're trying to figure out a good way to spend it. Maybe you have taken on some consulting gigs to pay your expenses while you try to acquire a business. So there's a lot of different reasons to figure out how long do you have before you can pull the trigger on something. And there's a lot of different deal mechanisms that have to get pushed around. So what does a current owner want to do? Why are they looking to sell their business? How long do you have to put a deal together? The longer, the better. And the only thing you need to make sure of is that the deal doesn't get stuck in deal fatigue, where everyone is really excited at the beginning, but with every passing meeting, they get less and less excited. So as a prospective buyer, the best thing that you can do is to start putting some structure and some options together. And I know even from my meeting last week, I kind of rattled off five or six different ways that a deal could be structured, and I could see that the wheels were turning. And that's why you want to give yourself some time, but not too much time, because then you will lose your excitement. If you lose your excitement, you'll probably lose your creativity. And if you lose your creativity, deal fatigue sets in, and then the deal doesn't come together. So once you figured out those very high level details, what does the owner want? Why are they trying to sell their business? How long do they have? Kind of what would plan B look like if plan A didn't work out perfectly? You know, maybe they do want to, you know, maybe they're saying they want to sell next year, but they really don't. They just want to sell now. One of the strategies I have found that is very, very helpful in trying to put together some of these kind of raw, basic, non-mathematical details is to create a baseline for the deal. So that would look something like this. If we were just to put a for sale sign on this business, what would it sell for? And I can tell you, if you've not heard me say this before, but coming up with a private company valuation is one of the hardest exercises to complete because there is no perfect math. Some people will do a multiple of gross revenue. You know, we do $2 million a year, therefore we want $4 million for our business. It's a 2x multiple. Other guys like me will say, well, I kind of like to look at the net income. I'll add back the owner's wage. I will add back depreciation, interest, etc. And then I'll give you 4 or 5 times that number. So lots of different ways to do it. But the point is, before we get creative with trying to figure out how to cut a deal, the best thing to do is just to come up with a baseline, a very foundational number that everyone can say, all things being equal, without anyone trying to be too creative, if time was on our side and the market had enough time to figure out, you know, to find a buyer for this business, what would it sell for? So you kind of get yourself on the playing field, and an owner might say, and let's use some round numbers, I'd like $2 million for my business. And then, you know, you have a conversation and say, well, in order for it to be $2 million, here's what some other businesses look like. And so, you know, can we all agree that that number is the number? And the reason why that's important is you're going to see in part two is as you try to structure your deal, the variables that you're going to be pushing and pulling on are basically time and purchase price. So the longer that you want to stretch the deal out, the chances are greater that you're going to have to offer a higher price because the owner is going to have to wait longer to get their money. So you're going to have to offer them more. Conversely, the reverse would be true as well. If you agreed on a $2 million price, if he was to walk away in 12 months, would he take, you know, would they take $2.3 million if they walked away tomorrow? So you got to create a baseline for the deal. Once you figured out what does the owner want to do? Why are they selling the business? How long have they given themselves to get rid of it? Then the next thing that you want to do is spend some time developing a baseline, just a very basic understanding. At this point, it's not going to be perfect math. It's just going to make sure that you don't think the business is worth $100 and they think it's worth $1 million. It's meant to get both you and the prospective seller at least within like earshot of each other, because if you've never done this before, you know that everyone's always going to, you know, the seller's always going to want more and the buyer's always going to want to pay less. But you can kind of cut through that if you've got a good way about you in that you can simply talk through the different pieces with the prospective seller and say to them, this business, from what I can tell, here are my comparables. Go ahead, get your own. But can we agree that the price is probably somewhere around X? Figure out that baseline first. If you can't figure out what that baseline number is, then depending on how bad you do or do not want the business, you may consider walking away. But if you can establish that baseline, then you've already done the hardest part. And that's why I started part one with some of the soft stuff, because after this, in part two and part three, that's just basically putting the deal together. But the magic really happens at this particular stage when you have found a business that you'd like to purchase, you have found a business owner who is willing to sell, and you have found a way to get a rough outline of what you purchasing that business could look like, because now that's going to serve as the jumping off point for everything else. So just to do a quick recap, figure out the kind of business that you want, figure out the market sector or industry that you would like to purchase a business in. Then there are many different ways to go ahead and find that business. You can do online classifieds, you can make cold calls, you can use business brokers, you can do networking, go to networking events. But once you have done all of that, you're going to find yourself in front of a business owner. When you're in front of the business owner, you're going to want to talk to them about why do they want to sell their business? Why would they consider selling their business? What are some of the reasons? Is it retirement? Is it they're just tired of it? Is it they actually don't necessarily want to sell the business, they'd hang out, but they're kind of done with the day-to-day management and the operations of it. And then once you've kind of worked through all of that, the next thing you're going to want to get from them, or what you're going to want to work through, is how long does the current owner want to be involved before they exit the deal? Because that's going to give you some information when it comes to structuring it. And through all of that, hopefully you're able to arrive at a baseline number that at least puts you and the prospective seller on the same page. So you may not be agreeing down to the 10,000 number yet, but you're agreeing on the big number. You agree that it is somewhere between X and Y, and let's keep the conversation going, because now the ball is going to be in your court to present them with a deal. And keeping in mind that this has been prepared off of assuming that you don't have a lot of money to work with. So we're going to be talking about sweat equity and how to really leverage it in part two. So once you've done that, then the next thing to do is to figure out, how do you structure the deal? How do you put something in front of them that they can consider? Because that is where how you're going to have to carry the ball and give it back to them. So Hopefully you found this helpful, but I would encourage you to watch and listen and check out part two, where we talk about structuring the deal.